Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And my headphones are working awesome. You are listening to Positively Rhode Island with me, James Lawrence.
With the Madman.
Right here on AM 790, a place for talk and business.
Give us a call, 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790.
Plus 790business.com. Positively Rhode Island with James Lawrence and the Madman. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, the liberties of our country, the freedom of our civil constitution are worth defending against all hazard. And it is our duty to defend them against all attacks. And a man who stands constant guard against attacks, especially against free market capitalism, is our next guest and one of our biggest senseis, and a man we hold in the highest esteem, the CEO behind Rhode Island Freedom and Prosperity, our good friend Mike Stenhouse. Mike, what's happening, brother?
Wow, you sound like Bill Clinton talking about a Barack Obama right there, the way you introduced me. Thank you for that.
Oh, absolutely. But Mike, you're a free market guy, and you get results, by the way.
Mike, did you hear the last segment?
I heard the last 15 minutes.
Okay.
Yep, I missed the beginning. I know some people over at Quonset. I've been told, but if it's true, you know, and I can't comment on it, if it's true, what I do know is this. I've heard enough stories from other people running businesses, working with other government agencies, and I won't get too specific. And it's this whole part of the culture that we need to change here. If we're really going to focus on jobs, then every governmental agency, every quasi-governmental agency, all has to put that as the priority. Of course we need to meet environmental standards. Of course we have to, you know, meet Quonset's charter. Of course we have to, you know, meet other regular, but still, let's do it while not driving away these people. Let's get them here and deal with it at the same time. So it's a balance that we've lost.
Right.
We've lost. You know, everyone's got an agenda and everybody's putting the agenda first and nobody's thinking of jobs. And that's why we came out with our prosperity
statement. Well, I'm looking at your prosperity statement right over here. I'm reading the vision statement, unleashing Rhode Island by tearing down barriers to success. And we just had a half an hour segment with this gentleman and his company.
Right.
Obviously a very
yeah.
successful company. Self-made, taking his own risk, using his own capital. And you heard that last, you know, 30-minute segment on what barrier he's running into with Quonset. You're talking dozens of new jobs to be created. Forget the tax money. Look at the lives he's going to touch by increasing, you know, jobs that we desperately need. What are we, 11, 12% unemployment?
10, 11.
Well, get with me off air. I'd like to talk to this guy. You know, as you know, we have a journalist, investigative reporter who might be interested in, you know, finding out a little bit more about it. So let's talk about that off air.
Okay, yeah, absolutely.
But you're exactly right, and that's exactly what our prosperity agenda is. It's not so much more government. Our policy recommendations are tearing down some of those barriers, getting rid of some of those laws, as James said, that restrict our liberties economically and you know, educationally. Now, whether you're a business owner or you're an individual, these laws, as much as they're intended to help somebody, they end up hurting the overall economy, and they become barriers for other companies. And this is what we've done to ourselves. That's why our report card showed so many ways we're hurting ourselves.
It was devastating.
We're trying to attract people to the state, and yet the powers to be are basically driving whatever business is successful here out of the state.
Yeah, but
which is even more ridiculous.
They think they're doing good for somebody else, because they're only looking at the intention
right.
of their law. Like when they did the tax on taxi cab driver, we raised some really important revenue we need to fill our budget. Well, okay, that sounds good, but you're going to kill taxi driver industry.
Right, you know? Right.
So we've done that to ourselves dozens and dozens and hundreds of times in so many ways, and we got to start reversing that trend and start tearing away some of these barriers.
Mike, I always thought that was an interesting dichotomy between that thought where, you always hear we're for the middle class, the working class, but if you tax them at everything they do from the moment they wake up till the moment they sleep and every activity they do, I don't know how, in a death by a thousand cuts, I don't know how that can be helping the working and middle class person.
Well, and what we're seeing here is they think they're helping the middle class by taxing somebody else. But what they don't realize is that when you tax somebody else and you hurt that somebody else, it indirectly ends up hurting the middle class. And so it's like a once removed argument, but unfortunately our legislators can't think in that dimension.
We need a little economic revival. We need a retrofit of economic thinking, madman, don't you think? Because, Mike, I'll tell you, you also had an article recently. It was Giving Work is Freedom and Growing Rhode Island's Economy, which was essential reading. And once again, go on RhodeIslandFreedom.org. Check that out. Go on the Ocean State Current, which is, again, fantastic. And Justin Katz does yeoman's work right over there.
Isn't he great?
He is absolutely fantastic. And what's the other guy's name out there? Bill Mooney?
Kevin Mooney is our investigative journalist.
Kevin, yeah, he goes out there. And I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you want up-to-date, right to perfect information for you. Go on these websites, check it out, and be armed with information and facts and statistics to battle the powers of despair. You know,
so, that's
just me.
Why we presented a positive vision.
Right.
You mentioned our vision, but our vision is this. I want your listeners to get this. Imagine Interstate 95.
Yep.
Jammed with traffic, loaded with capital equipment, money, checkbooks, and people coming into this state instead of leaving the state.
Sort of like a 128 in Massachusetts.
Yeah. Right. How would that be? Let's just reverse the outflow. You know, let's just use 95 instead of a way out of Rhode Island. Let's use it as a way, as a ramp in to something good.
Or
away from something bad. So that's our vision for this state.
Or at the very least, let our businesses expand in Rhode Island and protect them and nurture them and let them grow. That's even easier.
All right, and when they expand, guess what? Those jobs, more people, more money, more capital equipment's going to come into the state. So it's exactly consistent with what we're saying, yeah.
Memo to QDC.
Yeah, they always forget that part of the equation. With more business comes more revenue and more growth, which will help the government and pay down the debt, but that always gets overlooked because they immediately grab that cash. Of course, with our new $115 million surplus the state has, of course that's going to go to good use. You got to use that for great things. You got to think in the long run instead of the short run. What do you always call it? The short run little gimmicky type fixes they always have for the Rhode Island. You got to think long run, man.
Well, the biggest critics of our policies are the special interests and the social services groups who think there will be less money around for their constituencies if we do some of these tax cuts and pro-business things. And like you just said, no, that's the way we've got to rethink this is no, when we grow our economy, there'll be more people and there'll be more businesses and more income to collect taxes from and probably give you more money to spend on those people. But guess what? We'd be spending it on fewer people because more of them will be working and self-sufficient.
Well, I'll tell you, I think the dynamic has shifted in the state when you have a gentleman like Neil Steinberg from the Rhode Island Foundation having a symposium this weekend,
Friday
and Saturday.
Yeah, we'll be there.
At the convention center.
Good.
And when you have a gentleman as himself with that, you know, that frontline organization.
Impressive dude.
Very impressive. Finally.
Yeah, and let me say, well, I'm very curious and very eager to see how that conference turns out. But let me just talk, a little philosophically. What the Rhode Island Foundation does is what our country was designed to do. This is a private group taking private money and helping people in need. And those people are getting help from the Rhode Island Foundation instead of getting help from government. And that's the way our country was designed. Let the economy and jobs provide for what people it can, and then let churches and private charities and wealthy individuals provide voluntarily to those who aren't doing so well. And you know what? It worked that way. But now that we're trying to make government the distributor of all this stuff and forcing people by the point of a gun, figuratively, it changes the whole dynamic.
Yeah, we got to get back to private sector prosperity and public sector austerity. A little basic rule that everyone should live by. But, Mike, some of the other things in your prosperity agenda for Rhode Island, which you can go right to RhodeIslandFreedom.org and check out. You have everything. Eliminate the state sales tax. Establish Rhode Island as a right-to-work state. Repeal health care insurance exchanges and Medicaid expansion. Well, I think there was 12 of them. Bright Today educational reforms. Eliminate corporate welfare. Implement tort reform. By the way, when you wrote that down, that's Madman's.
Yeah, Batman.
Oh,
throw a lot of tetra-tetraform. Down your leg, Matt.
Yeah. Mikey cuts through another one. All right. Repeal the estate tax, lower the minimum wage to federal standards, reduce occupation licensing mandates, reform or repeal renewable energy mandates, which are going nowhere. Buy a Chevy Volt. Great job. Require pension accounting accuracy. And lastly, enact collective bargaining reforms for public employees. Now, that right there is the 12 commandments to fix the state right here. You don't need another commission on a commission on a commission right here. Go.
You forgot a commission.
Yes, there's a commission, you know. Mike, hold on. We're going to take a quick break, sir. We got more stuff to throw at you, Mike. Hold on one second. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Positively Rhode Island with James Lawrence and the Madman right here on AM 790, your place for talk and business.
Even if we disagree with the policies of a president, we ought to disagree respectfully just because he holds that office.
The Mike Huckabee Show, weekdays at noon on AM 790.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And you are listening to Positively Rhode Island. James Lawrence is my man. My man. Oh, yes, he is. James Lawrence. He's fantastic. Along with my...
Are you okay?
Yes.
Along with the Madman.
Yeah, they have over bought during commercials. Right here on AM 790, a place for talk and business.
Give us a call, 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790.
And stay tuned. 5 o'clock, Don So is Money Talk. The show to listen to, financial advice. Don will keep you abreast of everything nationally and internationally of what's going on in the financial world. But we are very lucky, once again, ladies and gentlemen, to have the CEO of Rhode Island Freedom and Prosperity, Mike Stenhouse, on our show. Mike, Madman and I were talking the thing. He said, Rhode Island always fails the marshmallow test. Remember that thing where they put kids in a room and they put one marshmallow in front of them and only very small amount of kids didn't grab the marshmallow and eat it. And if you didn't eat it, they'd give you two. And then they would just keep going on to see how many. So at the end, the smartest kid was the one with all the marshmallows. He enjoyed the fruits of his labor and his patience and his knowledge. Rhode Island is within 1 second, they got to grab that marshmallow and run with it down the street. It's like, why can't we think in the long run?
Was that the tobacco money or the lead money?
Well,
and the perfect example of that is usually most of the federal money that we can never resist. And you look at this Medicaid expansion that we just talked about. They've agreed to take the federal money not only to build these insurance exchanges, but to expand Medicaid. And they get allured in.
What was that?
The federal
million?
Government agrees to pay for Medicaid a certain, you know, for a limited period of time, and then scale that down. But then the state has to continue to offer it at its own expense.
What
so you're
get?
Right. You,
what
you,
get?
You 50... jump at the marshmallow, but it ends up burning your tongue.
Right.
You know,
what do they get, 50 million out of the gate for that? 50, 70 million for the exchange?
I don't know the number exactly. I think we have it in our policy brief, but there's certain dollars
50,
that the federal
yeah, 50
fund,
and 70 million dollars.
Yeah, pay for, and there's certain administrative expenses I believe that the state is responsible for as well. Yeah. And that doesn't even account the Medicaid expansion. Right. Plus, the expansion just means more people become dependent on government, and that's not a good thing either.
No, and they're supposed to make that into the exchanges they want to set up in Rhode Island is going to be essentially a government portal.
Oh.
Yeah, Justin Katz came up with that great term, a dependency portal. They've openly said that they plan to take the information they collect from people who are looking for insurance benefits, and then they're going to look at their data and their family profile and say, oh, by the way, did you know you're eligible for this, this, this? And there may even be an automated enrollment in those programs.
Oof. You know, I remember Star Trek. Anybody walking through a portal
wasn't
a good thing.
That's right.
Wasn't a good thing.
Because when they beam down, it'd be Kirk, Spock, McCoy, and Lieutenant Smith.
Yeah.
And
he had
first
the red
person
shirt
into
the red shirt died.
Lieutenant Smith, go check that portal over there.
You think you're signing up for health care, next thing you know, you're on food stamps and state housing.
And I'll tell you, Mike, ladies and gentlemen, go to Mike's website, RhodeIslandFreedom.org.
RIfreedom.org,
correct. And the other thing that we find disturbing, Madman and myself, is there was a thing called the State Budget Crisis Task Force, co-chaired by Paul Volcker, Federal Reserve former chairman, and Richard Racevich, a one-time lieutenant governor of New York. And he says basically the same thing. Now, this is the State Budget Crisis Task Force, and they released a thing a couple weeks ago, and it identified six major threats to state's fiscal health, including Medicaid spending, underfunded retirement promises, budgetary gimmicks designed to solve short-term cash needs, and increasingly volatile tax revenue. It urges state officials to regularly replenish their rainy day funds and criticize states for using one-time revenue sources, you know, to balance their budgets. I mean,
right. It sounds just like Rhode Island, doesn't
it? Yeah, it is. It is the paradigm that we keep using over and over again. And your 12-step program right here, which should be mandatory reading for any of the people down in the General Assembly, should be followed immediately. And, Mike, this is what it is. It's instant success right here.
Mike,
and almost all of those are backed by a lot of research that they can go to. Yep.
Mike, I can say this. Looking at I keep referring back to the CNBC rankings of the state.
Yep.
And once you start backing into the top 25 states and you look what they did to get themselves positioned to those extreme numbers being, you know, like Texas number one, Virginia number three, so on and so forth.
Our buddy Bob McDonald.
Again, looking at your policy reforms, these are exactly the same policies these states have instituted in various forms. So essentially, you're proposing to do what Texas already did. You're proposing to do what Virginia already did. And these people, and these states are economically viable.
Two points to make there. You're exactly right. First of all, yes, almost every reform we recommend is not only well-researched, but most of them, if not all of them, I don't know.
It's proven.
Are working in other states,
exactly.
Number one. But the bigger picture is, number two, other states are doing something to make themselves more competitive and attract business and to grow. Our state, our governor, earlier this week we had a brief that basically called him out and Speaker Fox out. They boastfully said, well, you know, it's our fate, basically, to be... think that, to paraphrase what they're saying, it's, you know, we just have to kind of wait for national things to happen.
Right.
Yeah, wait for more money from Washington.
Yes, there is something we can do about it. Any listeners, tell your officials, do something. There are things you can do. Look at our 12 steps there. Those are 12 of them. There's probably 100 things we can do, but here's 12 good ones to start with.
Mike, I'll tell you, the paraphrase that they said was, Rhode Island is usually the first in the Depression,
right,
recession, and the last one out. And I sat there, and it was just like the General Assembly member, and they asked about the economy, said, that's really not in our purview or in our best thing. I'm like, what? And
well,
you guys...
waiting for the national economy to drag
kick
us up with it is not an economic development plan.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's not something Ott Laffer or Thomas Sowell or our main man Larry Kudlow would advise taking.
Can you please identify where the $1.9 billion in stimulus money went in Rhode Island?
Oh, I'll tell you where it went.
We're still looking.
I'll tell you where it went. Alan Fung brought that up at the convention. He said, again, Mike, it was a carrot and stick thing. They had to go right into the general fund to pay off all the special interest, and now that money's going to dry up in a month or two, and then it's all going to be gone. But, Mike, thank you very much. We're definitely going to touch base.
Keep up the good work, Mike.
Absolutely, Mike. Keep fighting the good fight, sir. We wish you the best success.
Gentlemen, you keep letting us be a mouthpiece, and we're going to win.
Oh, thank yeah. You always have a thing here, Mike. No question about it. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned for Don Sowa's Money Talk. My name is James Lawrence.
And I'm the Madman.
One foot on the brake and one on the gas.
And until next time, Rhode Island, stay classy.
Yeah.